And you might think, well, that's a strange place to start, the temptation of Jesus. What is this to teach us about service? Well, I believe that when Jesus was in the wilderness, as he was here, being tempted by the devil, I believe that he learned so much about ministry here. He learned so much about what it means to serve from his experiences in the desert. Jesus' experience in the wilderness here, it could be likened to Jesus' time in Bible college. This is where Jesus went to Bible college. This is where he got his ministry training, in the wilderness, being tempted by the devil. Because we learn so much from his experiences here in the wilderness, because that's where he was. Matthew 4:1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, into the desert, to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." So there's no doubt where Jesus is here. He's in the wilderness. He's been led to the wilderness by the Spirit of God himself. And I believe this is his time of preparation for service and for future ministry. As we look at Jesus here in the desert, one important thing that we learn about service, Christian service and ministry, is this. And it's a very important thing. It is that, quite simply, the devil doesn't want you to be involved in service. The devil doesn't want you to be involved in service. And that's not a very catchy phrase at all, but that's the bottom line. And that's what we discover here. The devil doesn't want you and I to be involved in service. And as we think about the future, as we think about not just the Bay team coming in the summer, that seems a long way away. As we think about serving now, as we think about moving in the future and serving in a new area, one thing I know is that the devil doesn't want you to be involved. The devil doesn't want you to be involved in service. He didn't want Jesus to be involved in ministry, so he didn't. And he does his best to seek to prevent that and hinder that. The first thing the devil does here, he did it to Jesus and he will do it to you. He will seek to distract you from service. Distract you from service. Look at verse 3. Now the tempter came to him. Or we should read maybe verse 2 as well. When Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. That's stating the obvious. If you fasted 40 days and 40 nights, you would be hungry. So you would. And so the devil knew what he was doing, because it says in verse 3, then the tempter came to Jesus and he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." What a temptation. Jesus has been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. It doesn't bear thinking about. And then the devil comes and he tempts him. And he says, "If you're the Son of God, you can do anything. If you're the Son of God, see those stones there? Turn them into bread. Make yourself something to eat." How inviting that was for Jesus. But what's the devil doing? He's seeking to distract Jesus. Because he does it again in verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, again the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to Jesus, "All of these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." First of all, he offered him food, but that didn't work. Now he's offering him fame and fortune. So he is. He says to Jesus, he knows what he's doing again. It says he takes him up to an exceedingly high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He showed them their glory. And he turns and he says to Jesus, "See all of that, I will give it to you if you will just fall down and worship me." What a temptation. The devil here is seeking to distract Jesus from service. He's seeking to distract him, first of all, by offering him food, then by offering him fame, then by offering him fortune. But what do I mean? How do I, What is it I'm getting at? You see, what the devil is doing here, he's seeking to distract Jesus from service by putting earthly things in front of him. There's nothing more earthly than food. He's putting food in front of him. He's putting fame. He's putting fortune. And that's what he's doing. He's seeking to use earthly things to distract him from serving and from doing what he knows he has come to do. And you know, the devil still does that. The devil still distracts Christians from service with earthly things. He puts earthly things in front of them. Possessions, houses, cars, hobbies, all different kinds of things, fortune. The devil is so subtle, he's so clever. He knows how much we love earthly things. We love earthly things. And he knows it, and he plays on it. And that's what he was doing here. Seeking to distract them from serving by putting all these earthly things in front of him. Seeking to entice him with these earthly things. Can I ask you this evening, is the devil distracting you from service? Is he keeping you back from serving? And he's using earthly things to distract you. He's using maybe some of the things that he used with Jesus. But they're very earthly things. They may seem legitimate things, and some of them may be legitimate things. But could it be that that's what the devil is doing? He's seeking to distract you from service using earthly things. Let's be careful of earthly things. Let's be careful of the place they have in our lives. Because the devil knows we love them, and the devil will use them to distract us from service. But we also see here that the devil, he tries to delay Jesus in serving. Not just distract him. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get Jesus to take his eye completely off the ball and focus on earthly things, food and fame and fortune. But he doesn't succeed in that, and he knows he may not succeed in that. So he tries another strategy. He tries to delay Jesus. Hold him back from service. How does he do this? Well, he's very clever again. Look at verse 3. Listen to what the devil says. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He does it again in verse 6. The very same words. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down to the earth, and the angels, they will protect you. They will keep you safe." Notice the phrase. He says, "If you are the Son of God." If you are the Son of God. What's he trying to do here? He's trying to put doubt in Jesus' mind. He's trying to get Jesus to question and to query, "Am I the Son of God?" And Jesus, the devil is hoping, will think to himself, "Well, you know what? I should prove to myself I'm the Son of God. I should prove to the devil I'm the Son of God." And that's what the devil wants. He wants to delay him in service. He wants to take Jesus' time up with Jesus proving to him and Jesus proving to himself that he is the Son of God. But Jesus doesn't need to do that. Jesus knows he's the Son of God. But the devil is seeking to delay him. He's just seeking all the time to hold him back from service. And he's so clever in the way he does it. Seeking to sow that seed of doubt. Am I the Son of God? Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should take some time just to show the devil I am the Son of God. Maybe I should take some time just to prove it to myself, to reassure myself I really am the Son of God. Maybe you shouldn't. And that's what the devil wants. He wants to delay Jesus in service. Does he do it with us? Of course he does. Of course he does. Know how he does it? Know how he does it? He comes and he sometimes whispers in her ear, "Are you really saved? You really saved? You know, Colin, if you were really saved, you would do this, you would do that, you would do the other." And you know, so often, this, that, and the other are really good things. Really good things. Good things to do. But he's so clever. At times, he will invite you to do really good things. And he will say to you, you know, "Are you sure you're saved? You know, you need to prove to yourself you're saved. You need to really spend some more time making sure you're saved." So you do. What's he doing? He's seeking to delay us in service. Seeking to delay us in service. I'm going to give you an example, and maybe it's just peculiar to me, but it's been on my heart recently. I have found myself at times praying about certain matters. Sometimes praying as I'm driving along the road. That's why if you ever meet me with my eyes closed, you know I know what I'm doing. Sometimes driving along the road. Sometimes driving along the road, I'll be praying. Sometimes when sitting in the chair, I'll be praying. Sincerely and earnestly. Then the devil will come and he'll say, "Colin, see if you really meant that. See if you were really saved. You'd be down your knees praying." And it's like he rubbishes all that's gone before. And he says, "That's of no value. That's useless." And I'm thinking, you know what? I want to be real with God. I want to be sincere with God. And at times, you know, I thought, you know, maybe that's right. Maybe I should have been down on my knees praying. So I'll come and get down on my knees and I'll pray the same prayer. I don't believe that's the Lord. I believe that's the devil. In a very peculiar way, as I say, maybe just peculiar to me, I don't know. But what's he doing? He's seeking to delay me in service. Seeking to hold me back in service. Is he doing that with you, dear friends? Maybe he's been doing it for years. Maybe he's been whispering in your ear, "Are you really a child of God? Do you really belong to the Lord? Maybe you should spend a wee bit longer working it out, thinking it through. Maybe you should go and talk to this one or that one about it, and deep in your heart you know you're saved." That's what he's doing. He doesn't want you to serve. Doesn't want you to serve. He just wants to delay you. Keep you back from it. Is that what he's doing? Maybe distracting you from service with earthly things. Or maybe delaying you in service. As he sought to delay Jesus, sowing seeds of doubt. If you are the Son of God, you'll do this. If you do belong to the Lord, you'll do that. Just make sure you do belong to the Lord. Don't go out and serve. You need to spend more time just making sure you're saved. He wants to delay you in service. But ultimately, we see here in he wanted to destroy Jesus for service. That's what he was about here. That's what he was about. He wanted to destroy him. We see in verses 5 and 6. The devil took him up into the holy city. He set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to Jesus, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." What's he trying to do? Does he really want to see Jesus throw himself down from this high height? And does he really want to see the angels of God soar in and catch him and protect him? No, he doesn't.
He wants to see Jesus throw himself off and fall to his death. That's what he wants. That's his purpose. He wants to destroy Jesus for service. So he does. And that's what he wants to do with us. Let's not beat around the bush about it. He wants to destroy you for service. He wants to ruin you for service. Here, he wanted to literally destroy Jesus. He wanted Jesus to throw himself off this high mountain, that he might fall to his death. He pretended that he wanted to see if the angels would come and rescue him. But that's really what he was about, destroying him for service. He knows why he had come. We see the length he goes to. He's so blatant, he's so open about it. Doesn't hide it. Leads Jesus up to that high pinnacle. He says, Jesus, throw yourself off. Sure, the angels will come. So brazen about it. Don't we read in 1 Peter 5 and 8? It says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes I don't get that. Sometimes on a Monday morning when I go out, I don't get that. And I wonder why Monday's the worst day of my week after preaching on a Sunday. I wonder, why is it? Am I just tired? No. We have an enemy, friends, who wants to devour us, who wants to destroy you for service. But we read on in 1 Peter 5, it says, resist him, stand, be steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It says, resist him, steadfast in the faith. Good words, resist him. Be steadfast in the faith. Maybe need to remind you that this is the start of a little series on equipping the church for service. But I think we need to start here. We need to be reminded that the devil doesn't want us to serve. He wants to distract you from service. He wants to delay you in service. He wants to destroy you for service. And finally, we see that he wanted here to steal Jesus' devotion. Steal his devotion. Look at verse 8 again. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. That's what he wants. That's what the devil's always wanted. He's always wanted to be top dog. So he was. That's where he came from. And he's no different here. He says, all of these kingdoms I will give you if you will just fall down and worship me. Just this once, Jesus. Fall down and worship me. That's all he wants. He's trying to steal Jesus' devotion. Why does he want to steal it? Is it just because he wants to be top dog? No. No, he knows. He knows that the one we love and the one we worship will be the one we serve. There is a connection between who or what we worship, who or what we love, and who or what we serve. And it's made plain in verse 10.
In verse 9, he says, I just want you to fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. There is a direct correlation between who we worship, where our devotion lies, and who we serve. Who we worship, who we love, will be the one that we end up serving. He's so clever. He's just trying to steal his devotion. Because he knows if he can get his devotion, he knows he won't serve. He won't serve his Father. It's the same with us, friends. He seeks to steal our devotion. Are there things in your life, and you really feel it on a daily basis, things that just want your devotion, want your affection? He's so clever. He still does it with us. Because he knows if he can get us to direct our devotion, our attention, our love, our worship to other things, to earthly things, to the things of this world, whatever they might be, money, luxury, sport, whatever it might be, he knows if he can cause us to direct our devotion to those things, those are the things we will serve. I think, having looked at all that we've looked at here in Matthew 4, the words that come to mind are those words in 1 Peter. To be on your guard. To be sober, to be vigilant. Because of your adversary, the devil. I believe God would have us to serve. God would have the church to serve. That's his desire. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Following immediately after those wonderful words, by grace you're saved through faith. Immediately it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That God has foreordained that we should walk in them. Friends, those words challenge me about service. Those words get me up of my seat and send me out, because it says that God has foreordained before the foundation of the world, God has planned service for me and service for you. And my fear is, friends, that I sit back, that I don't take service seriously, that I succumb to the devil's distractions, the devil's delays, and I never get to do the things that God has foreordained for me to do. May God help us in these days to resist the devil, to stand firm in the faith, to see what he's doing in our lives, to be alert when he seeks to distract us and delay us in service. Let us pray. Father God, as we just look out on this gathering of people this evening, our heart is excited. Because Lord, we see so much potential. We see children. We see young people, middle-aged people, older people. And Lord, we just think of the possibilities of us all being engaged in service. We ask, O God, Lord, I ask that you will help me to see when the devil is distracting me and delaying me. And to resist him, to stand firm in the faith, and to carry on serving. Lord, I just pray tonight. Lord, I pray for a work of your Spirit in each of our lives. Lord, that no one here would exclude themselves from service. Lord, there may be some and they would love to serve, but the devil has maybe them convinced they can't. Lord, your word tells us he's a liar. Lord, there's maybe some here and they just feel that they're beyond serving. The thought of it is maybe just too much. Maybe never done it before. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will ignite a zeal for serving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.